Hello everyone and welcome to the Hunter Association, your source for all things Hunter Hunter. My name is Cage.
And my name is Dylan.
And on this week's episode, we will be talking about Hunter Hunter 1999, episodes 4 through 6.
Yes, sir.
Then, of course, after that, we will be going through our community comments. If you'd like to join in on the community and have your comment read, be sure to comment on the YouTube version, either on the video or on the community post. Also, make sure to like and subscribe to help grow our community of Hunter Hunter fans. Additionally, if you would like to know when new episodes are live, click the bell to enable notifications. If you are an audio listener, make sure to rate and review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at TXHXAPod, as well as Blue Sky at just THAPod, for podcast-related updates and to submit responses to the weekly call-out posts. If you'd like, you can also still email us at hunterassociationpod@gmail.com. As always, we have provided timestamps in the description if you'd like to skip ahead to any of the aforementioned segments.
Apologies to the YouTube viewers for seeing me choke on my coffee there.
Yeah, I noticed.
Oops.
So we do have news this week.
Yes, we do.
Kind of. And this is really more so last week. This feels like old news at this point, but we just barely missed it last week.
It literally got released. The trailer of what we're about to talk about released, I think, I kid you not, 10 minutes after we ended the recording.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah, we just barely missed it.
Yeah, but we absolutely have to talk about this. We finally have the release date for Hunter Hunter Nen Impact, and it is July 17th. We had a really nice like release date reveal trailer, and at the end of that trailer, they revealed that DLC is coming.
Yes!
Something we were all hoping for, but did not think we would know about it now, which was crazy.
Yeah, yeah, let alone the character of what we're about to talk about being revealed as the first DLC character. Yeah, I just didn't expect this game to get a DLC announcement at least until like a month after release or so. Like, you know, maybe seeing how well the game does first, because like, you know, it's openly stated this game is kind of like a low budget project, all things considered, right? But I guess they have enough faith where they're just straight up saying, yeah, Season Pass DLC, and they're naming it Season Pass 1 specifically as well, leaving the door open for more. There is some amount of faith here that I didn't anticipate, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, that's exactly the thing. This just oozes confidence, and I love that.
Yeah.
Arxis, the publisher of this game, definitely has a lot of faith in this game, which is so exciting to me. I love that. So the first character that was announced, there will be four characters in this pack. We don't know the other three, but maybe we'll talk about that a little bit today, who we think it might be. But the first of which was Pito, which is awesome. That is probably the most desired character for the game.
Every person I talk to about this game, when talking about the roster, it happened every single time. It's like, why is Pito not in the game? Like, they should be in the game. So you know, everyone was asking that question. But evidently, they will be. The very first one for DLC, which is very exciting.
They
Fall 2025 is the anticipated release date.
Yes. And with the other three, the second one is Winter 2025. Then the third one is Spring 2026. And the final one will be Summer 2026.
So nice little seasonal release cadence there.
Yeah.
Which, you know, yeah, not bad.
Very nice.
Also worth noting, I believe the season pass is only going to be like $15 or so, $15-$20, which isn't that bad considering modern, you know, season passes for other fighting games.
That's killer for modern standards. So also in this trailer was revealed the limited edition version. Is that what it's called? Just limited edition version?
Limited edition. That's it.
So within this, you obviously get the game, you get a steelbook, you get a special booklet, which I believe is just an art book. You get it all comes in a nice box as well, with really cool artwork on the screen. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll see this right now. You'll get two acrylic stands of Gon and Killua in action poses in their Chimera Ant outfits. You'll get the season pass, and you'll also get two skins like right off the bat. Unclear if these are like exclusive or not, but it is Kurapika without the like blue gown thing, and Hisoka from the Hunter exams.
Yeah, not bad.
Very cool. Yeah. The real exciting one is that Krollo in the suit for the season pass. That is exciting.
Yeah, that is a skin I think literally everyone will use if they have access to it.
Why would that is the superior Krollo fit.
No, yeah, I mean, I like Dracula's Krollo just as much as the next guy, but come on, you can't deal with that. I mean,
it's the hair, man.
Yeah,
the hair.
The style is
his hair down.
The style is unmatched when his hair is down, I think.
Yeah. I love, in the manga currently, how it's the outfit from, the slick back hair, but the hair of this outfit.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect, but we will not have that in the game.
No. Well, maybe not yet. We'll see. Maybe.
Yeah, who knows? One day. And then finally, there's a little digital pre-order bonus. I guess this is only if you pre-order the digital version only, and it's also platform exclusive, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't like this, really, but it is what it is.
I mean, to be fair, at least the skins for this are kind of just whatever, so you're not really losing much from not getting these, but it is a little weird. That being said, it seems like for pre-order bonuses for PS5 and Steam specifically, you do get early access about, I think, 48 hours before the official release.
Yeah.
So that's something.
Yeah, that's huge. So that's all the Nanopec news we got, which is a lot. So this was awesome. I am so excited.
Yeah.
I was not expecting to get this much information. I was just expecting to get the release date, and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, even in the trailer itself, we got more, I mean, I guess, confirmation of stuff technically, although it was a lot of stuff we expected, rollback netcode, a lot of the online functions. Seems like a lot of the single-player content will be, combo trials and, missions. There's this little story mode thing that's kind of neat, where it seems like it's going to act as, half of a tutorial, but also, it takes you through the general story events of Hunter x Hunter and gives you, specific, conditions to hit in matches, which is really neat. Could be a decent little way to kind of get your foot into the learning the game properly, right? We'll see if that amounts to anything at all. Obviously fighting games don't have the best history with single player content. And then even in the online mode, it seems like they're incorporating this Greed Island card system where you can kind of put cards up for battle, so to speak. You wager cards, and if you win, you get to take your opponent's Greed Island card and build your collection. I don't know how fleshed out that function will be or what it'll end up being, but I think it's kind of neat on paper. I'm curious about that.
Yeah, on paper it sounds cool. I don't exactly know what it is yet, so I guess we'll have to find out.
Yeah, who knows what the reward would be even for filling out your collection, right? So
yeah,
we'll see. It's still a lot of unknowns, but the fact that it's releasing in July is really exciting. I feel like that's okay, the only concern, I guess, and this is only really relevant if you are tapped into the FGC specifically, is that I think it's expected that 2XKO might release around the same time. So that might be a little bit of a challenge for NetImpact, because 2XKO is very highly anticipated.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
But we don't have official release date for that yet, and otherwise I think this is perfect timing. Just a nice little summer fighting game, a la Street Fighter VI. Whenever that released.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we carry on, let's throw out some predictions down for these other three DLC characters.
Oh man, so I think what most other people would think of seeing Pito there is okay, what about the other two Royal Guards, right? And I'm actually not that confident that they'll put all the Royal Guards in. I actually think it might be more likely that only Pito gets in out of the three.
That's not to say we'll never get the others, but I'm thinking, probably not right now.
Right. So as for if I were to just throw out three characters randomly that I want to see in, right? I need Knuckle in there. That is a must for me. I think he would be the most obnoxious character to fight in fighting game history, but it'd be so worth it. He's cool. I need him in there. I think I'd want another Phantom Troop member in there. I just don't know who. I'm thinking maybe Nobunaga could be a fun one. But, I'm down for another troop member, just in general.
The only thing about Nobunaga is his Nen ability is unknown. So his moveset would just be Sword, which is fine, but it would be a little odd.
Right, which is
I don't know what you'd make his alt.
But, I don't know if other... if any of the other troop members would really fit, so to speak. Like, can you imagine, like, Franklin in the game? Because, like, I can't.
No. I can imagine Shizuku, though, and I really think they're probably going to do that. That's my prediction. Shizuku. I would rather have Nobunaga, but I feel like Shizuku is going to be the phantom troop member to make it in.
And that's fair. That's fair for sure. And then aside from that, I think Illumi would be a cool choice, too. I think you could do some fun stuff with him.
Yep, that's actually my exact picks, except for
wow.
I think Shizuku instead of Nobunaga. But yeah.
Yeah, I think those just make sense as, like, you know, the next, like, you know, big characters to put in, right? I mean, I guess you could argue Knuckle, but, like, I don't know, Knuckle's just cool. I feel like he just fit into a fighting game really, really well.
While I do think they would go with Inumi, I do want to raise you Zeno or Silva.
I would like those picks too. I think those would be really fun. I don't know. Hunter is blessed with just having so many different characters you could pull from for something like this. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna be content with pretty much anything that they, anybody that they use. You know, saltiness with like Genthru being in the base roster aside, right? but you know, we can argue about that all day. But I just such a rich category and or such a rich library of characters to pull from. So I'm happy with anybody at this point.
Yes. All right. So, yeah, that's the NIN Impact talk for this week. Awesome stuff. I'm so excited for the game.
Yes.
And we now know when to be excited for.
Yeah, and I think we're both still interested in, you know, streaming the game in some way, shape, or mm-hmm. form whenever that yep. releases. So, I guess as we get closer to the July release date, July 17th, keep an eye out for more info from us. We'll surely have something planned by then.
Yes, absolutely. Keep an eye out. And for audio listeners, you know, check out the YouTube. I mean, we'll let you know when we're going to do a live stream. But.
Yeah.
All right. With that, I think we are ready to head into the main topic for this week. You ready, Dylan?
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right, everybody. Welcome to our coverage of Hunter x Hunter 1999. We're back this time with episodes 4 through 6. So we may be a little shorter this week. Both Dylan and I have had very busy days, and we're both really tired.
Yeah. So our evening has just begun, too, for what we have to do.
Yes,
today, so.
We have other things to do after this, too. So, we're probably going to try to keep this a little short, and I apologize for that. But if there's any time to do it, it's probably this one. Because, to be honest, I don't have a whole lot to say about a lot of these episodes. That's not to say I have nothing to say, but... not a whole lot, especially compared to last time we covered this.
Yeah, we'll do our best to kind of fill this out as much as we can. But yeah, I guess let's just go ahead and get into it, right?
Yep. Yeah. So episode 4, you know, we are arriving. We're getting off of the boat and the you know, the typical thing, the lone cedar tree. The captain's telling them about that mm-hmm. route to go. And Leorio is the only skeptic about the situation. He does not think that this is the right thing to do, but we do have quite a bit of filler in this episode, actually, to my surprise.
Yeah.
We have this new character. Well, he's actually not new. He does exist, but I don't know if he was named in the manga. Matthew. That's right, Matthew. So in the manga, his role is just like, it's exactly what it is later when at the quiz. He just, like, he's the one that fails. But he, like, travels with them in this, which is a choice.
very trusting group here, you know, just in general with these filler.
Yeah, and additional filler with Leorio going off on his own and getting on a bus that is just, like, riding around in circles.
That part was really funny, though, I thought. I don't know. I like that a lot of the filler that I'm seeing so far is, like, one, not taking up entire, like, plot lines, aside from the second episode, but, like, that was, like, pretty good, right? But, like, the other filler moments aside from that, it's just been kind of, like, intertwined throughout, like, the actual, like, canon stuff, and also it's been mainly used as, like, either world-building compliments or just, like, pure comedic relief, and I think that's, like, the best way to go about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, we have Matthew with us here for this journey up to the Cedar Mountain. And you know, I mean, again, Leora does have the whole detour with the bus, but all that happens really is that the bus is going around in circles.
It was a trap.
Everybody on the bus. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Just, it was a time killer. He gets off the bus and goes and meets up with the group. It just it's the same thing that happens in the manga. It just takes him way longer to go with the group. He kind of immediately turns around and goes with them in the manga, but he was a lot more stubborn here.
Yeah. Did he still get attacked by that rhinoceros beast, whenever he joined back up? I can't remember.
No.
Okay. Well, that was filler then too, but that was pretty funny.
Yeah. That, the whole journey up the mountain was not in the manga.
I see.
So yeah, we got Matthew shenanigans. He's one of the boys for a bit. He's just, he makes Gon carry him. Cause he lies about having like a sprained ankle or something. That was funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, we end up getting to the quiz. Yeah, there's really nothing else to talk about in the mountain climbing scene or whatever you want to call it. Forest travel.
Yeah, just a lot of downtime. You know, it's just one of those kind of episodes.
Yeah. And Matthew is just tacked on. It's just really funny. This Matthew character is fascinating to me.
I don't even have a lot to say about him, but he's just kind of there the entire time. And, like, I get that's his role in, like, the manga as well, right? You know, but, like, you know, just the guy who is so confident in the quiz and trying to screw everybody else up that he fails himself, right? Like, haha. But, I don't know. So, such an interesting usage here.
Yeah. We get to the quiz and, you know, Matthew, he goes first and fails. It's not clear that he failed, but we find out he failed.
Yeah.
And the question that is asked is like, to him, it's basically the same thing to both, but it's just like, would you save, in a life or death situation, would you save your like girlfriend or your mom?
Yep.
And he answers
the mom. Because you could get another girlfriend.
You can get a million girlfriends. Yeah, but you only got one mom. So he goes through. It seems like he passed, but he did not. Probably killed. I don't know happens to him. But
it was shown at the end of the episode. He didn't get killed along with everybody else that passed through. They're just kind of being like held hostage by these magical beasts and animals.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
I think he was getting he was getting sit on by this like bear creature thing, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
But yeah, they basically tell him you can pass. They didn't say they said you could pass through, I think is what they said.
Yeah,
but,
something like that.
They didn't say he was correct. So
yes,
there's that. That was the whole kind of thing about the quiz, right?
Yep. And so it turns out that the correct answer to this question is that there is no answer. Stay silent.
Which Leorio inadvertently passes by just like a little bit protesting against the quiz. Yeah. And by doing that, he didn't actually provide an answer, so he technically passed.
Yep. And Gon is just like lost in thought about. Although I will say the 99 version kind of makes it seem like he did know the answer. He did know he was supposed to stay quiet. But in the manga, it really is just that like he was thinking and he didn't even really know what was going on.
Yeah, so yeah, I guess that's a weird quirk of the 99 anime's presentation here then, because during the quiz, it did make that Kurapika's like internal monologue was kind of making it seem like, you know, he thinks that Gon knows what the trick is, right? But yeah. It's shown at the end of the episode as they're running through like the tunnel or whatever that Gon is still thinking about the question even at that point. Like he's like, I don't know who would I choose. Like the innocence of him. But I found that moment really cool, knowing everything else that happens in the series now. And this isn't exclusive to 99, but it's just kind of something I thought about as I watched that moment. Really cool how like they made it a point to where like, you know, yeah, there isn't the correct answer, but there might be a point later in time where, like, you're going to have to, like, make an answer regardless of if it's correct or not. And I like that that kind of ties into some of the later decisions that, you know, Gon maybe has to make. In Chimera Ant specifically was what I was thinking about with, you know, Kite and everything. Like, you know, do you save yourself or do you actually go and try and, like, fight and save your friend pretty much? I don't know.
Yep.
just
no, yeah, it's I think that's very good foreshadowing there, and it's yeah, that's like the question that Gon poses to the other two that they weren't really thinking about in the moment. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, someday you may have to actually make that decision.
But it showcases the innocence of Gon at the same mm-hmm. time. So I just like that scene in general. I haven't really thought about that until watching it again. But, you know, just a cool thing I picked up on.
Yeah. So, you know, they pass it and they are allowed to go through the real path, which is like a secret entrance, which it's like a 2-hour walk to somewhere else where they will meet a guide that will take them to the cedar tree.
Yeah, so it was just a straight road ahead, essentially.
Yep. And I mean that is that first episode. That is episode 4.
Yeah, it's aside from the weird Matthew changes, it was kind of just a direct adaptation of that chapter yep. in the manga, right?
Yeah, for the most part, just little like some minor changes, like just like the way things look, but I mean, whatever, who cares?
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything specific from like the 99's presentation that kind of like adds to that whole event, but I can't really think of anything off the top of my head. I think it was just kind of pretty standard stuff, right?
Yeah, pretty standard. Like there really isn't a whole lot of like 99 unique things I can say about that episode. I have a lot more to say actually about these next two.
Yes.
There's really just not much to talk about with this episode 4 here. Pretty standard. The only weird stuff is the Matthew additions, and I mean whatever, right? I don't know.
it's yeah, fine. Not really a big talking point, right? So it is what it is. Kind of a, I mean, I don't want to say a nothing burger episode, but like it kind of is at the same time. Just there's not a little whole bit. Lot to say. Not a whole lot to
yeah.
say.
Yeah. It's a good adaptation, I'll at least say that.
Yeah, for sure.
So then we get into episode 5, which we start off in, you know, more semi-filler. It's like we have this little like boat journey at the beginning, which I am pretty confident was not in the manga.
No, I looked it up on Hunterpedia, actually, okay. after the episode, and that entire scene with the large snake, yeah. Nessie-like creature that attacked them in the boat, that was an anime-only beast. That was not in the manga.
Yeah, this is all filler.
But this leads into my point that I was kind of talking about earlier, though, and that like the weird non-canon stuff that they do add is just like purely like either for world building or comedic relief. And this, I guess this is kind of both if you want to consider it just like showcasing another dangerous beast you can encounter in the wild.
Yeah.
Right. But it also added to the Leorio moment where he was like, yeah, I think confidence is my best trait. I can take anything head on. And then he just immediately becomes the fastest rower on the planet. Upon encountering that monster.
Yeah.
It was really funny, though. I got a good laugh out of it.
And he has this moment where he's like, after he does it, he's like, man, I did that by myself. Just like, rowing by myself. I made it to the shore that fast.
He's like staring out at the water, briefcase over his shoulder. So stoic looking. I loved it.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I will say about that, though, this is what one instance, and this is kind of a theme throughout the rest of the episode too. I like how the watercolor presentation of this anime really it helps with this like darker scenery, like deep within the forest, and like especially when they're on the water too, just in this like foggy swamp like environment. I think that really added a lot of like tension's not the right word, but like I don't know, it just made the scene feel cooler than I think it otherwise would have.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, I actually have a lot to say about the lighting in this episode, both good and bad. It's extremely dark.
Yes.
And I think a lot of the time it looks really good, but there are also many moments where, like, I can barely see anything.
I think
like,
there's one that I'm pretty sure I know what you're thinking of that we'll get to later in this recap. But
yeah.
Yeah, I agree. There are some times where it's rough, but I think, like, overall, I kind of really enjoyed it for the most part. I don't know, it's just there's something about it that just has a lot of mystique. I think that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, it's super unique lighting. Like even I can't even say like, oh, this is like classic 90s anime lighting. Like no, this is actually pretty atypical. This is really, it's a very interesting way to do nighttime lighting in an anime, and I like it. I think it's really interesting. It's just it is very dark.
Absolutely.
But
Yeah, they went all out with just like the shadow effects in general, just like how much they used it where they could.
Yeah, yeah. A little overboard sometimes, but I get the vision. I would also say this is a pretty well-directed episode.
Yeah.
A lot of cool, interesting shots.
I agree.
So we get to the Kirikos. This is, you know, they don't know that they're Kirikos yet, but the Kiriko son and daughter here pretending to be a couple, which, you know, this plays out almost exactly the same, except we'll get into it later, but... For starters, the male one, the husband, quote unquote, is hurt. Leorio is tasked with like helping him, you know, tending to his wounds and whatnot while Gon and Killua, Killua, he's here already.
Yeah, Killua's here.
Gon and Kurapika chase after the, you know, the Kiriko that took the wife, quote unquote.
I do want to add, though, when they walked into the house the first time, I think that was one of the coolest shots of the episode, and
yes,
one where the lighting awesome. Really helped, like what we were talking about with the direction. Just like, I don't know, the fact that like the Kiriko was holding like, you know, the wife like hostage, just in that dark ass room with like, you know, very little lighting. I think that really added to that.
It did.
You just
see like the glow of its eyes.
Because like I can confidently say that is something I would not have recalled like that scene specifically from 2011, just because again, everything's so much brighter there, even in a dark environment.
Yeah, even during the night, it's still pretty bright.
But because of how the lighting was and just the overall direction of this episode as well, this made this this little like introduction to the Kirikos so much more memorable to me than it was beforehand. So that really stood out to me.
Absolutely. I thought it looked great. So, Gon and Kurapika save the woman, and, well, Kurapika does. Gon actually, goes off with the other Kiriko, like a one-on-one face-off.
Yes. That entire chase scene, I think, is where the lion really shit the bed.
Just about to say, it's, like, watching it back right now, holy hell, man, I can't see a damn thing.
It's like, way too dark.
I respect the vision, but holy shit, man, they can tone it back a little bit.
It was, it could have been, it could have been a lot cleaner, but like Gon jumping through trees, it's like, I can't even see like half of his body.
No, I know what he was doing. Like, I don't know what's happening here.
But I mean, it's a chase scene. Otherwise it's everything you would remember from that scene in the manga, or 2011.
Yeah.
Yep.
Same thing.
Yeah.
So Kurapika is with the wife and he notices the tattoos, and at this point we don't know what that means, but we'll see in a moment. And you know, Leorio, so here we get some more Leorio filler. The 99 anime loves Leorio so much.
I'm not really complaining though, if I'm
no,
being honest.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's very entertaining.
So Leorio gets tasked with going to find this
like
some
herb.
Kind of herb in the woods that'll help heal him. And we don't actually get the... Okay, I guess we don't see this right away. But first, we see this little... The moment where Leorio, quote-unquote, comes up to Kurapika. He's like, yo, man, I finished healing the guy. What you need over here, bro? and then Kurapika...
Gets whacked in the face. Him. Yeah.
Yep.
And he's like, I would have done that anyways.
I would have done that anyways. Classic. I love that. That's another Kiriko, obviously. And Kurapika also realizes that the woman is a Kiriko because of the tattoos. The tattoos on her signify like a woman that had like, what was it? A vow to never marry or something
like
that.
Yeah, like swears that like God is the only relationship or whatever, or something like that.
Yeah, some religious thing.
Yeah.
So she could not possibly have a husband.
Yeah, something related to the Sumi tribe, I think is what they called it, right?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know, Togashi world building classic.
Yep. So there's that, and she's exposed. And now we go to the Leorio filler where he's looking for this... this herb, and the other, you know, the husband Kiriko actually turns into his Kiriko form and goes after Leorio, and this did not happen in the manga, but
I really liked the setup to the. I feel like this wasn't intentional, but it just made it so much funnier to me how like the Kiriko went like took hold of the rope and is acting like he's about to like cut the rope, and Lirio says like in the most calm voice you could ever imagine, like, "Oh, I'm in deep shit." Like essentially, he's like, oh, that's, yeah, "This is a really troubling situation." And he just, yeah. It's the most calm voice of all time.
He's very calm. He's just like, "Oh, damn."
It's so not like Leorio, but that made it 1,000 times funnier for me. And I feel like it wasn't intentional, but it worked.
Yeah, I don't think that was intentional either, but I loved it.
Yeah, weird voice direction. So he was notable.
Absolutely. So he notices a little like needle mark on the Kiriko's arm, and that's how he's able to tell. Oh, this is the husband.
Yeah, because so he treated him. Like,
okay, so this is a test, is what he realizes in that moment. Mm-hmm. And on Gon's end, he stops the Kiriko that's fighting him in his tracks because he's like, oh, you're not the same one I was just fighting. And he's like, what the hell? You can tell us apart?
Yeah. It's like, I love that moment. That's my favorite part of this entire thing. I don't know. Gon's just the goat.
Yeah. That's a part that's always stood out to me about this too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, all three of them in their own ways like proved that they're capable, and they say that directly to them. You know, Kropika was able to figure out by the tattoos, Gon could tell them apart, and Leorio, I mean, he healed the guy pretty effectively.
I gotta show
and he
some.
Could tell by just the needle.
I gotta show some props to Leorio also. That scene where he like just like threw the basket of herbs at the Kiriko's face to like go up and like put the knife to the throat, like that just looked so sick. It's like, whoa, I don't remember Leorio looking this cool like in 2011.
Yeah. Dude, 99 loves Leorio and I love him for it. It's awesome.
I have such like massive respect for 99 already just for how much they've kind of worked to showcase Leorio in comparison.
Yes. Yeah, so that's pretty much the end of the episode. They pass this little test, and the Kirikos are like, all right, we'll guide you to the exam hall. And there's a nice little moment where Kropika and Leorio fist bump. Love that. And the Kirikos then fly them off with a really awesome shot in front of the moon of them all flying. I love that shot.
That is so cool. Fantastic shot. Props to whoever directed that.
That was awesome.
Yeah, just another example of like the kind of atypical presentation that 99 has, even for its time, I feel like.
Yeah, 100%. So that's episode 5. I really liked that episode. I thought that was really well done. The additions were really nice, even like that boat stuff. It was kind of, I mean, the boat stuff at the beginning was like whatever ultimately, but I thought it was fine enough.
And
you know?
It was like a minute of screen time too, like it really wasn't that much, and for only adapting a single chapter in an episode, right? Like it didn't detract from anything else, so perfectly fine stuff for sure.
Yes.
And just that episode was just a, I don't know, obviously that's one of the more memorable things that have happened for most people, like pre-Hunter exam especially. But yeah, I don't know, 99 did a fantastic job at adapting it. I think I really enjoyed it.
Yes. So that brings us to episode 6. I have a lot to say about this episode.
Interesting.
We'll just get into it. This is an interesting episode. So starts off totally normal. They get to the venue, exam hall. I don't know. I guess it's a venue. And they see like the big building and like, wow, this is awesome. This is really fitting for the Hunter exam. And then they're like, oh no, it's actually the thing next to it.
Yeah.
And it's just like a little restaurant bar thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Kiriko orders the special menu item that gets them into the Hunter exam, and they go to the back room and they get down to the real exam hall.
I do want to note very quickly, there's already a difference from the manga technically at this point in time, where in the manga, it was actually Beans that gave Gon, Kiriko, Kropika, and Leorio their number badges. But this time it was the
Kiriko. Right. Yeah. Oh my god.
So Beans is not present in this entire episode.
Yeah, what the hell? Beans erasure. And I know Beans is white in 99, so I really wanted to see that.
But yeah, no, we have to hold off on Beans for now, unfortunately. But
that is such a damn shame. I'm glad you made note of that. I forgot to bring that up. Yeah, I was like, what the hell? That, where's Beans?
I watched it. I was like, I can't remember. It's been a while since I've seen it, right? But like, mm-hmm. I could have sworn something wasn't quite like this. And I looked on Hunter Media, and yeah, no, it was Beans that gave him the badges.
Yep. But other than that, everything is the same there. But that is just the first in a long string of weird changes happening here, which we're going to get into.
Which I feel like you'll be way more informed on this than I was maybe watching it. So I'm curious to see everything.
Yeah, I was just scratching my head throughout this episode, to be honest with you. This is a weird one. So, yeah, they get to the exam hall. That's all normal. They have the Kropika and Leorio have the whole conversation with Gon about like which hunter are you gonna be like me.
Yeah, which I kind of similar to how like the whole like Gon like still thinking about the question after the quiz thing. Really like this moment now, you know, in retrospect as well, kind of knowing everything that goes on ahead. Right, shows all three characters' convictions in a really like condensed like time. While also kind of setting up Gon as like, yeah, I don't think Gon even knows what he wants to do, you know, with being a hunter. Mm-hmm. Or kind of sets the entire question of like, you know, does Gon even have a goal to achieve? Like, is finding his father really what he wants, you know? Just a cool little detail.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Again, not exclusive to 99 specifically, but I like seeing stuff being set up like that in retrospect that maybe I didn't pick up on beforehand. Or don't think about often.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. So, now we are in the first exam hall.
Yes. With
it'll be the marathon in a moment. So, right off the bat, we get Tompa. He's here.
He is here. Rise up, all Tompa fans.
He is... So, at first... I was actually into the changes here, so they are 99 is making a very big effort here to actually make Tompa seem like he is genuinely a good guy. There aren't any like immediate signs that he's a piece of shit.
The laxatives are not present at all in this episode.
They cut out the laxative bit. They also cut out people talking about him like behind their back, like that's the rookie crusher. All that's gone. Nobody calls him out for it. Kropika doesn't pick up on it like in the manga. Nobody knows. See, everybody genuinely thinks he's a good dude.
There are, like, very subtle things still, like him, like, kind of, like, sweating constantly when, like, having conversations. But...
Yeah, and Nicholas kind of, like, he sort of hinted at it, but he didn't say anything out loud.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we get introduced to Tompa, which we all know how he'll turn out later, but for now he's supposed to be a good guy, which, again, at this point in time, I was like, okay, I kind of like that approach. Let's actually make us like him for a bit.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but he's still classic Tompa, though. Failed the exam 35 times, you know.
Yep, 35.
He's classic. Yeah, he's a character.
Then we get introduced to Nicholas, who is the little fat kid with the laptop. Classic character here. I think he's a genius. He, again, like a lot of other things here, just... So, up until this point, 99 has been, like, really slow pacing. Like, they've been trying to pad things out. But then, for whatever reason, they get here, and they're like, boom, let's just fucking move. Let's go as fast as possible.
Three chapters are adapted. Fuck?
Guys, what happened? Oh, my God. Calm down.
Even I, it was such a radical, like, change to me, even. Like, and normally I'm pretty, like... oblivious to like, you know, little things like that, like not remembering exactly how many chapters are adapted, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But even I could tell, like, oh my gosh, they're blasting through some of this now. And I guess if you're gonna do that during the marathon is probably fine enough. Like, there are worse places to do that, but it's such watching all the episodes prior to this and knowing that it's only adapting like a chapter at a time, it was very jarring.
Yeah.
Came out of nowhere.
It's incredibly jarring. It's just so fast. I was like, I this can't be right. I was just like, what the hell, man? We're moving so quick. There's like so many things being skipped over. There's little character introduction moments, like whatever though. I mean, it happens the way it does, and we gotta deal with it. We still get the big ones, like we see Hanzo and all them, but we don't really hear much about them.
We hear Hanzo's only line in this entire episode is, just between us, I'm a ninja.
Okay, yeah, that's
like,
it.
Okay, thanks, Hanzo.
Yeah, in the manga, like, he also gets a moment of, like, calling Tonpa out, and, like, I mean, you know, it's very different with Tonpa in general. Like, in the manga, you immediately know Tonpa sucks ass.
Yeah.
The only one that's, like, oblivious to it is Gon, because he's just a very trusting person.
Mm-hmm. That being said, we still have pretty true introductions for two major characters, right?
Yes. So first of all, we'll talk about Hisoka here, because Killua we see first, actually, but he's kind of just in shadows.
Right.
Hisoka, he does his thing. He's the magician. He's like, oh, be wary of this guy. He like killed a proctor last year.
This was a really interesting one for me, because if you remember in the manga, I think he actually cuts off that dude's arms on his introduction.
Yeah.
But I don't, I still don't know what the hell he even did to that guy here in 99. Like, what happened? What is being showcased there? It's like some weird magical looking effect. I don't know. It's so bizarre. I couldn't tell what was happening.
Well, okay, it is, I will say, it is weird in the manga, too. It's not exactly, he doesn't exactly cut off the guy's arms. They do kind of just, like, disintegrate. It doesn't really make any sense with, like, later knowledge. I don't think Togashi really had an end figured out yet, but...
Okay. I mean, I guess in that case, that
even this is not exactly the same as that, even, but...
It's like the dude looks like cut in half almost, like with like.
Yeah, I don't know what they're trying to say. I actually really can't figure it out.
But yeah, I noticed that. I'm just like, what the hell? Like, what did Hisoka do here? How did he do that? Like, I don't know. It was so wild.
I have no clue. So Hisoka, I don't want to talk about it too much because we haven't heard it much yet. But his voice, we did hear.
Yes.
Wow, is it different. Holy hell.
Dude, like, the lack of, like, I don't know. Because, like, when you think of 2011 Hisoka, you think of a very, like, eccentric voice, almost, yeah. Right? Like, very kind of cocky sounding, full of himself, but, like, it's just very, like, he's kind of, like, living the clown role, so to speak, right? He kind of just sounds like a normal dude here, at least from the couple of lines that we heard.
Yeah. I gotta hear more, because I will say, also, I wanted to talk briefly. Kurapika already is growing on me,
Yes. Actually.
I don't know about you. Yeah, okay.
I'm getting used to it now. Maybe I'm just, like, misremembering it, or, like, it's just kind of, like, me getting used to it now. I feel like I don't hear, like, the massive, femininity in his voice now compared to those earlier episodes, but I don't know. I'm trying not to think about it too much, because, like, it could just be placebo, but either way, like, I'm pretty content with the voice now. It's growing on me a lot.
No, yeah, I truly do feel like there was a change in voice direction or something with Kurapika, because it just sounds different to me, but I'm not sure. Either way, though, I'm already used to it, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Hisoka, just like Kurapika, I want to hear more of, and also, just like Hisoka, I want to hear more of Killua as well, because this also didn't really land for me yet. But he barely talked. So let's give him time. But he sounds like a very little kid. Like,
he's
super young.
So, like, yeah, I know Killua already sounded pretty young to me in 2011, right? So I was kind of expecting, like... Because, like, I guess I was expecting something similar with Gon, in that it's not the same voice, obviously, but it's, like, very, like, similar direction-wise, right? But Killua is just like, yeah, he sounds like he's like 5 years old in some of those lines. Like, it was so like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, it's just not the voice expect from him. And like, obviously we're both used to 2011, but still, yeah, it's very high pitched. So there's that.
I could see that one growing on me still, though, because like, I don't think it sounds like that young to where it's not like believable, but it is like, it is pretty different from what we're used to. So,
yeah.
I'm going to give that time as well. It could be a Kurapika situation where the direction changes as well.
Just need some time. They got to get into their characters and their roles.
So,
you know, Killua's introduction happens like normal. It's the skateboard thing. He gets off the skateboard. He's like, oh, you're the same age as me. Let's run. And they do. It's very sweet and simple.
By the way, wasn't it that point in 2011 where he actually told Gon his name? I could have sworn that was the case, because he doesn't tell his name this entire episode.
I think so. And I see, this is where my memories get all messed up. I don't know if that happened in the manga, but I'm 99% sure that that is how it happens in the anime.
Nice pun.
But I don't know about the manga, so I brain whatever. But yeah, you know,
too many. But yeah, in 2011,
I think. Yeah, there's now I have three versions of this floating around in my head, so it's gonna be all over the place. But you know, the scene plays out as you would remember it, I'm sure, at least, and you know, fast friends. But from that point on, okay, we're not doing anything the same anymore, I guess. So
yeah, where do we even start?
So we get things are reordered also. So we have, as they're running, one of them, maybe it's Gon, asks Tonpa, like, hey, tell us a little about
the, it was Gon, yeah,
the participants. Yeah, Gon. So he talks about, like, you know, the triplets, the snake charmer, the like the hunter, the huntsman guy, whatever.
The martial artist.
Yep, yep. Yeah. And, you know, we also get the bit there with where Leoria was like, hey, I'm a teen too. So it's just like everything's reordered. All this stuff happens like at that entrance in the manga, but now it's as they're running, which is whatever, but it's just odd.
Yeah, like it's I wonder what went through their heads in like deciding to change the order of that around, because like I don't know, like it just it's weird. It felt very odd.
It's just like for this one episode, they were like they were just suddenly strapped for time. Like they were just like they had like a limited amount of episodes or something, but they definitely don't. They, if anything, they should be stalling for time all the time. But they weren't. And we also have this. I really don't like how this episode is directed in contrast to the last episode. It's just this very lazy thing where it's just like it's phased to black and it's like, oh, 30 minutes have passed. 3 hours have passed.
Yeah.
All right.
Like it's just very clearly something where it's like you can look at that and it's like, okay, they definitely used that to like cut down on as many seconds as they could with the animating stuff.
Yeah. yeah, that was lame. That was just the most like least visually interesting thing I've ever seen in my life. But then we get to the moment where Leorio gets tired, which does happen, but this is kind of a moment where I'm like, okay, 99 kind of did Leorio dirty here, because in the manga, this is like a triumphant moment for Leorio. Yes. Like, he gets tired, but then he pumps himself up. He, like, rips off his shirt. He's like, all right, never mind. Fuck it. Let's go. Let's get to the end. But here, he actually just, like, he's done.
He's like, my legs cannot move.
It's over, bro. It's over for me.
This is where, in my brain, it went like, we're diverging a little bit here. Like, this didn't quite happen in 2011.
Yeah, so he holds up the whole group, Tonpa, Gon, Killua, and Karapika now, and Tonpa, also Nicholas, by the way, is here. He's a little further behind. They'll run into him later, but I'll mention him now. Tonpa's like, hey, man, we've been... Also, there's split paths. That also wasn't in the manga. It was literally just a straight path. There's been split paths this whole time for whatever reason.
The forks are giving me flashbacks to when we were playing that Hunter Hunter
game. Yes, that game.
Did that run through your mind, too, when you were watching the episode?
It did. It did. I was like, oh, that's why there were forks in the road in that game.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who remembered that. I'm like, wow, this is flashbacks now.
So, yeah, Tonpa is like, hey, man, I smelled a tree that, like, restores your stamina down one of those other halls.
The most, like...
Right.
The most like snake oil thing you could ever hear in your life.
Yeah. So the gang, I mean, they say they're going to split up, but they actually kind of don't really. But they do for a moment. Tonpa takes Leorio and eventually Nicholas to this tree that will apparently restore their energy.
Which that part was really weird to me, by the way, because like they had this whole moment of going and being like, okay, I trust you, you know, we'll catch up, you know, soon, right, you know, after you're done.
Yeah.
But then like 2 minutes later it's like, actually I'm turning back now,
Karapika, yeah,
I'm worried. like what was okay. That for
nothing. It was to separate them for a minute.
It was so weird to me.
So Tonpa takes them both to nothing, and he just kind of leaves them there.
Yeah, he's like, that's where he's all like, oh, yeah, by the way, my nickname is the Rookie Crusher. Yep. People.
And then my brain is like, all right, so why bother like trying to make him likable for longer if you're just gonna reveal it in the same episode?
I mean, I guess...
was getting excited. I was like, okay, are they gonna keep him like kind of likable until like Trick Tower? Like,
that is this gonna that be would... like? That would have right. been an interesting thing to see, I think. I think that would have been a change where, like, okay, maybe this is like a more ideal thing, potentially.
Yeah.
But it was within... I guess the argument is that doing it within this episode makes it, like, a better cliffhanger, I guess, because they kind of end the episode shortly after that. But, yeah. like, I don't know. I guess when you retroactively look at it, knowing what's coming up, like, what's the point? Either you reveal it, like the source material, or you be experimental and you drag it out for as long as you can if you want to go down that route. But like, they kind of just did a weird middle ground, and I feel like it doesn't really work. Like, I just kind of left from that episode being like, what was the point? Like, I don't know. Not to say it was bad necessarily, but like, it just felt unnecessary, I think is the best way to put
exactly.
it.
Exactly. It was my question after finishing this was simply why? Like, why did we change the order of all this random stuff? Like, we could have just left it the same.
And I think it's made worse by just reshuffling a lot of other things that happened.
Exactly.
Like, too. And just all that combined. Beans. Yeah, and removing beans after the most horrific crime that they did, obviously.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think all that combined is just kind of, like, makes it a weird episode to judge, because, like, I don't know what they were going for necessarily. It's a complete tonal shift from how they directed the other episodes.
And it's also not like a complete story. Like, there's a cliffhanger, and I can actually say I don't know what will happen next because this is all filler. So I can't say I don't know what the full vision is here. So I don't know how to about it.
The way this episode ends with like Tompa being like, I'm the Rookie Crusher, and going heading back, and all the others still moving forward, like, it makes me feel like that this next episode might just be complete filler, potentially.
It might be. That's my guess.
Which I'm intrigued to see what that looks like, but it is, I don't know. Yeah, again, it's just jarring after the trend that 99 has set so far. But it does leave me curious to what the next episodes will be like, so I guess I'm down either way.
I'm very curious. I am also just, like, wondering, well, okay, this is more just, like, a nagging feeling in my head of, like, all right, this is, like, you're supposed to be keeping up with Sato, and you guys are doing this whole, like, side quest back here. How the hell are you going to realistically catch up with him?
I thought about that as well, and that's another reason why I'm just intrigued to see what the hell happens, because how do you make that make sense? Like, they're so far behind now at this point, I feel like.
I know, like, super, like, Satoetsu runs fast as hell. Like, I don't know how, what are you guys gonna do? And, you know, if you guys remember, at, like, the end of this exam, the door closes, like, right after Satoetsu and, like, the first group get through. And it's, like, the whole thing of, like, oh, if you weren't, like, really keeping up with him, you fail. So. I don't know. So, we'll see what happens here, but, yeah, this is, interestingly enough, we do not know what's going to happen next, even though we've seen this show and read the manga.
Yeah, kind of a cool stopping point in that regard, but...
Yeah, so yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
Going to be left hanging on that for a bit. I wanted to ask, before we do like a wrap-up of like just overall thoughts, what'd you think of the OST throughout these three episodes? Like, was there anything that stood out to you? Because for me, there was actually one track that played during the Kiriko chase that I really, really liked, actually. And I kind of want to look up that track individually.
Okay. I guess that didn't stand out to me because I don't exactly remember it, but maybe it would if I heard it again. Nothing super stood out to me this time. It's not that I didn't like it. What I did notice is there's a ton of remixes of the opening throughout the soundtrack.
I haven't.
A ton.
Yeah, I haven't watched the opening too many more times since we watched the first batch of episodes. So I guess I didn't pick up on that, but I'll have to go back.
It's that melody you'll hear. It's like you'll hear that.
Oh, okay.
That's so many moments. It's like in just different like keys.
I respect it. I won't lie.
Yeah, it works. I like that song. Also, you know what, man? We said we were going to talk about the ED, but I forgot to watch it.
I forgot to watch it, too. So.
Next time, 2 weeks.
We'll note it on our script for that episode.
Yes,
I
promise.
Homework on that.
We will watch the ED and talk about it next time.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
But, Yeah, my bad. But so yeah, this batch is fine. I thought the second episode was definitely the highlight.
Definitely.
And then episode 4, take it or leave it. It's serviceable. I liked it enough. And this episode 6 here was just weird. And I need to see the next episode, I think, to fully form my opinion on it.
Yeah, I think I'm basically in the same boat as you. I want to stress, though, that like episode 6 I don't think was bad necessarily. It's just, again, if you're familiar with the source material at all, whether it be the manga or 2011, it's just so weird. And like like you said, I think episode 7 and how that goes will maybe reframe our judgment of episode 6 a little bit, depending on what happens. It might even make it just even sillier, in all honesty, so I guess we'll see. But we'll see. Overall, I enjoyed this batch of 3 episodes. It was enjoyable enough, and like you said, episode 5 in particular was just really cool direction wise. So I'd say overall I had a really good time with it.
All right, well, I think with that we're ready to see what you guys had to say about it.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get into it. Okay, now's the time of the episode where we go into community comments. Usual reminder, if you want to get in on the discussion week to week for our episodes, be sure to keep an eye out for the YouTube community post on our YouTube channel, and also call out posts on Twitter and Blue Sky for any discussion topics that we want your thoughts on. And if you are an audio listener, or an audio-only listener, I should say, you can always still email us your thoughts on any given discussion topic at hunterassociationpod@gmail.com. And as for this week, we actually don't have too many comments to go off of. I fear that some people may not be keeping up with us on these episodes, which is it's totally fine. But
there really isn't a whole lot to say about this batch, to be truthful. But I get it, guys. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So that's another reason why this episode might be a little shorter this week. Yeah, let's go ahead and get into it, starting off with a classic insert name comment. And he was very kind enough this week to give us a little intermission for us to switch, so thank you for that.
yes, thank you.
Not much to say about, I'm assuming, about
episode four, I think.
Fair. We were kind of in the same boat. Episode 5 is interesting. It's the start of trend in the 99th anime of aggressively dark scenes that cover up detail and or the background. Okay, it's this specific
trend.
That's interesting. In this specific episode, it's not as bad as the ambience of the forest is reinforced, and they do use shades of blue to provide depth and provide some light. But it gets worse from there. Oh, interesting. Episode 6, and eventually episode 7 in the tunnel, has numerous scenes where I think it borderline makes the shots unreadable. Did you notice that in episode 6?
I did, actually. I didn't really talk about it, but yeah, there were some extremely dark scenes in episode 6 as well.
I might have just happened to gloss over those scenes specifically in episode 6. I feel like it wasn't that big of a problem for me, but maybe I just wasn't paying enough attention at those scenes.
Yeah, there's no lighting in the tunnel, and I think... I can't say for the manga, who knows really, but in 2011 at least, the tunnel had lights.
Yeah.
So it was lit up inside, which I thought was a good, I don't know if there's a change or not, but it looked good.
Yeah. Okay, wait, this next bit I do remember now that he's bringing it up. In particular, the shot with Gaara the Hunter, where his entire silhouette is diffused by the dark filter over everything until he turns his head.
It's just like a black blob, and then you can finally see, oh, that's a human being when he turns his head.
I do remember that, being like, what the hell?
Like, what am I even looking at?
Okay.
I guess that's a guy.
Yeah, if that's going to be a trend going forward, I mean, I won't say that it makes the episodes not entertaining, but it'll be interesting to see that trend going forward. I generally find the whole style a bit visually unappealing, covering up good art and action. You can make a scene in the dark without going full Game of Thrones. It's cringe, I do not like it, and it will not be the last time. Oh, boy.
Okay, I wasn't as harsh about it, because I'm sure it will probably get worse, I can imagine. But I see how this can get... like irredeemably bad in the future. I could forgive it in episode 5 because it was at least an interestingly directed episode, despite it being very dark. But to know that this is like a trend That has me a little worried. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll see. Episode 5 has a bunch of weird visual things. The random red filter that goes over the screen when the navigator jumps out of the house. Oh, wait, yeah, I do remember that. The weird disappearing effect when the navigator... It worked, I think, there. It was noticeable, obviously. But,
yeah.
You know, I liked it. The weird disappearing effect when the navigators phase out of existence. Oh, wait, yeah. Wasn't that when after Kurapika smacked the Kiriko in the face? He just kind of phased out?
Yes, that was odd.
That didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, but also it's okay, like, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it does have very nice water sound and rowing effects. Okay, yeah. On the actual story front, episodes 4 and 5 are great, but there are two things of note in episode 5. First is that the Sumi religion tattoo and the daughter stayed on throughout the 99 anime version of events. This is the case in the manga, but in the 2011 anime, they have her rub it off to show it's part of the test. Oh. Yeah. Huh, I didn't remember that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird, because if they rub it off, that means they would be revealed by touch. I'm just now realizing why they did not do that. Plus one brownie points for 99. Okay, yeah, good point. The second is how Leorio passed the test. It's nice that Leorio passed the test on his own deductive reasoning and that it shows him being a competent, capable person by both holding off the monster, solving the mystery, and climbing the waterfall to grab herbs.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I must admit it's a bit of a problem narratively, as the reason Kurapika hits the navigator in disguise is because Leorio abandoned his patient, and here he is abandoning his patient. It's
right,
a bit of a moral dissonance.
Yeah, I wanted to comment about that too. It didn't come to my brain, but yeah, that did strike me as a little odd that he did leave the patient.
I guess for real. The difference is that he was leaving to like care further for him after his back, but not just like, okay, you're better now, I'm ditching you, see ya. Like, you know, there's a bit of a difference there. I would argue, but I get it for sure. It's nice initially, and I must admit I preferred this on my first watch, but with more consideration, it's contrary to the moral presented. And, fair enough, I guess.
I can't really argue against it.
And then this is the intermission where Cade swaps over now.
Yes, thank you for that insert name. I love that. So, Pasty Tompa scares me. Yes, he's
he
very white.
He was kind of pasty, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yes. get this man more sun. And if any company is selling figures of Leorio in the cum man form. Oh, I wanted to talk about, there's this random shot when Leorio is exhausted where like, yeah, he looks like cum. Like he's just like white goop. I don't even know what they're trying to convey there, but
God, I must have just like passed over that scene too, because like I'm generally like, what? Like
you just have to go back and look at it to believe it. But yeah, it's just this random shot when he's like getting tired and it's like shows him like falling apart as he's running and he's all white and like globby.
I'm going to search for that as you continue speaking now, because what the hell? How did I miss that?
when he's thinking of quitting the exam, they can have all the money. Generally, miss the absence of the Tompa juice scam, and while this extends into episode 7, I'm generally not a fan of his rookie crushing plan in this phase of the exam in general. Sato's running feels significantly worse here with the static. Yes. Yeah. So there was a scene in particular where Sato's, like, it was supposed to be running, but they were just kind of bouncing a PNG up and down. Yeah, that looked awful.
Okay, the more that these scenes are, the more that I'm being reminded of these specific scenes, the more like, okay, yeah, episode 6 has some whack direction.
Yeah, I'm telling you, 6 is, it was pretty poorly directed and really weirdly paced, but, you know. Did you find the cum shot, though?
I did, and maybe we even put an image on for the YouTube version for you guys' reference, because, oh my god.
Do you want to screenshot it right now and put it in the doc?
I will screenshot it after we're done recording. Yeah.
Okay. yeah.
That's hilarious.
It's interesting. Where was I? Background feeling so much worse than his exaggerating walking styles and other mediums. One big thing I'd like to address is Killua's design. It's much closer to the spiky design from the beginning of the manga than the more rounded and cartoonish style from later events. I'd like to make an argument that the 2011 anime is better for not having gone with this sort of design. Yeah, the 2011 was just like, you know, making the design consistent, I think, because, you know, in the manga there is a very clear like design shift with Killua, but you know, they're just making it consistent. Now, I suspect 1999 chose this form because the manga hadn't significantly shifted Killua's design at the time, and in 2011, because they wanted to simply go with the latest and more refined design, along with the earlier design likely being harder to animate. But I'd argue 2011's design thematically works with the story more than even the physical transformation in the manga. While in the manga, his design mirrors his development away from his darker past and tendencies, Killua at his core is not a cold-blooded killer at heart. He's the brother of Alucard and a fun-loving, curious kid. The story works better when there's a disparity between the visual darkness of the of him and the dark acts he commits and has commitment, as it speaks to a corruption of someone pure and innocent. He's a manipulated child, and while the original design establishes the cold-blooded killer aesthetics more, the softer design signifies what Killua actually is to the audience before he actually accepts it himself. The story is not about a cold-blooded killer's reformation. It's about a kid who was indoctrinated and manipulated by his family, gaining freedom, making choices, protecting those he cares about, and not letting the desires of others impose on him an identity that is not his own. At his core, he is still a kid and was never what others demanded of him. The physical transformation implies the opposite. And here's an interesting line that I noticed before we even read this. I'll save my rant on why I don't like Hisoka in 1999 for next time.
That scares me.
Interesting. So, very curious. We have some intrigue here that we built up.
Interesting. And I kind of agree with you on the whole 99 versus 2011 Killua design. Because I'm big on, like, you know, thematics kind of like clashing, or rather, I guess a better way to put it is like a design being a, like, I don't know the right way to put it in my own words, I guess, but pretty much what you said about how like the 2011 version being kind of more like rounder, more refined, just kind of like nicer looking in general, like more kid friendly, so to speak, right? And then just kind of having that clash with like when he actually has these like cold-blooded instincts, you know, as he's shown later.
Yeah.
That works, makes it work a lot better because it clashes thematically. Whereas if you have kind of the more spiky, more edgy design, so to speak, it kind of comes off as like just like more natural and not something to be concerned about. I agree with you in that I kind of prefer the cuter design, so to speak, just because it kind of makes those moments a lot more tense and just like better presented in general.
Yeah, but also like you said, there are merits to both. Yes. Decisions.
I think it's really just a preference thing all around, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, next up we have a comment from Drake Curry, and apologies if I pronounce this incorrectly. Namias Keita was fantastic in the dub for this show in my country. Also, I really hope you two young men enjoy your day. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you very much. That was very sweet.
That's so kind. And yeah, I'm not familiar with that voice actor, so I'll have to look them up.
Yeah, I'm cute. I wish you said what character they played at least, but yeah.
Maybe I can do a quick one while you read this next comment.
Yeah. So I'm always looking for that. This next one comes from Magitech09, who says, there's this change done in episode 4 where we see that guy alive at the end when it's very implied in the manga that he died. Right. But there's another change in episode 6 with the bifurcations? Huh? Is that a word?
That's admittedly bifurcations? New to me as well. It's a real word, but I don't know what it means. The act of splitting something into two parts, so the fork in the road.
Okay, I kind of figured that's what it meant, but I've never seen that word in my entire life.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce it?
I did not even look at that part specifically. Bifurcation, I think, is
how you would... Bifurcations. Okay. Well, thank you for teaching me a new word, Magitech. The bifurcations and the paths and traps in there helps contextualize this, I think. Maybe. The preliminary hunter exams, it's meant to stop you. The ship, the bus, the questions, it literally, if literally millions take the test every year, it makes sense this would be to incapacitate and delay. But the moment the actual test begins, the safety net is off, your life is on the line, and this makes it perfectly clear how dangerous and terrifying the hunter exams really can be. Yeah, but I think it was displayed pretty well in the manga, too. It's just an endurance test. I don't know if it's really necessary to add splitting paths as well. Mm-hmm. But I get where you're coming from. Yeah, it's just like more, it just ups the ante even more.
Yes. So. Again, this kind of leads into the trend where it's not like necessarily a bad addition. It's just like confusing as to why it was there in the first place. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just odd to think about, I think, from like just kind of keeping the source material in mind at all times. Right. And also following up on from the Drake Curry comment, I can't find anything about this VA no matter what I'm searching. So I'll have to do deeper research at some point.
Interesting. A deep cut.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not familiar. So, I don't know. I'll do more research on that later.
Okay.
And, finally we have, one more comment to go over. Again, kind of a short week this week. Apologies for that. Is from Low2199 saying Tompa is legit one of the most evil characters in media if you think about it. All the other villains in Hunter x Hunter have at least a good reason or some redeemable qualities. Gyro, Morena, and the troop want to take revenge against the world who wronged them and are able to make connections with other people in similar situations. The Chimera Ants are literally biologically designed to act that way, and by the end of the arc, many of them go against it and end up showing compassion to humans, if not totally become good guys. Hisoka has somewhat of an honor code when it comes to fighting, and is not opposed to helping the good guys if he thinks it would be fun to do so. Illumi loves his family. Even Beyond is better than him, because at least he has a cool and achievable goal. Tompa is legit just a jealous hater that literally targets children as a way to numb the pain of not being good enough to pass the hunter exam. But in the end, he will never be free of that pain because he is incapable of moving on from the exam. I'm loving this Tompa character retrospective right here.
Yeah, man.
Doing all the work for us on that. This makes all the horrible things he does every year in the pursuit of some solace meaningless, and in some way he must know it. But he continues anyway. Because deep down, he is a bad person down to the core. Only Serenich and Parison are worse than Tompa, and only because they are competent versions of him. Togashi saved the world of Hunter x Hunter by making Tompa a pathetic loser, because if he was as smart as Parison or had the talent slash power of Serenich, he would be as bad as them, if not worse. In short, I don't like Tompa. Also, for some reason, Hisoka is French in the Brazilian dub.
I can see it. Kind of makes sense.
that random trivia comment there just made the entire thing for me. P.S. You guys should do a hot takes episode.
I don't know if I really have a lot of hot takes, to be honest, about Hunter x Hunter. I think most of my takes are pretty cold.
I could probably scrounge up some. I think it would be very difficult to make a full episode out of it. Maybe like a bonus episode or something.
Yeah, we'll workshop it. I'll add that to the ideas doc.
Yeah. Fantastic comment, though.
Yes, that is a really good way of thinking about Tompa, to be honest. He actually is like kind of dangerous in a way. He's just really stupid.
Yeah, like imagine if
his
he had
mindset is dangerous. Yeah.
Not to say he doesn't have a brain, because, like, obviously he's smart enough to be the rookie crusher. This is a common thing for him to do, but, like, shoot for the stars, man. What are you doing?
Yeah, seriously.
That's funny. But, that's... we'll end the community comment section on that note. Just, again, a reminder, if you want to keep up with discussion week to week for any episode topic, be sure to keep an eye out for call-out posts on YouTube, Blue Sky, and Twitter. And if you're an audio-only listener, you can always email us your thoughts at hunterassociationpod@gmail.com.
Absolutely. So that's the end of this episode. Sorry, again, this was pretty short, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Again, we had a pretty busy day, and also, honestly, not a whole lot to talk about with this batch, but
yep.
I think we had a pretty good discussion regardless.
Yeah, not a bad discussion at all. I think it went pretty well, I thought. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it.
So with that, this has been the Hunter Association. Thank you so much for listening. We are available on all major podcasting platforms, as well as YouTube for the video version. Be sure to follow, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. You can also follow us on Twitter at TXHXApod, as well as Blue Sky at THApod for updates on the show and as an alternative way to submit responses to the weekly call-out posts. As always, we'll be here the same time every week talking about Hunter Hunter.
Yes, sir.
Dylan, where can people find you online?
You can find me online at DJ Tengen. That's DJTENGEN on Twitter and Blue Sky. You guys know the drill. I'm just a nerd. Massive, massive nerd. So, yeah, I retweet some memes too. So I guess go follow me there if you're interested.
Yep. And you can check me out on Blue Sky at Cage 10. That's KIIGE10, where I've been tweeting about Daima lately on the mind a lot. It's been good. It's almost over. One episode left.
Major stuff happened in Daima lately too. So
yeah.
Been excited about that.
Absolutely. All right. So next week on the show, very exciting. We are doing our next character retrospective, of course, because it's the beginning of the month. Mm-hmm. And fitting for this episode, because we just had him introduced, we will be talking about Killua.
Yeah, this actually lined up really well, this series of episodes.
It did. And again, I, as with all guests, I will not say who, because, you know, could fall through, but it's, I'm pretty damn sure this is going to happen. But we will have a guest on, I won't say again who, but this will be a fun one. This is our first, like, returning guest that isn't Dan or, you know, Braden in this case, like, just a friend of ours.
Yeah, there's a hint there. There's a hint for you.
Yeah, little something. So, yeah, we'll see you guys next week for a Killua retrospective with a guest, and we'll pick back up with 99 the week after that, and that'll be episodes 7 through 9.
Yep, that sounds like a plan to me.
Alrighty, guys, then we will catch you next week. We'll see you then.
All right, have a good one, you guys.